They've already done that. Good. We're looking at Romans 5 and the reason for this, for Christmas, the reason for the season. As we continue in the book of Romans, God's book on salvation for the church. And it's great to be here. It's great to think about Christmas right now. Do you love Christmas? You do? Why? Preaching Christ's birth, okay. So you like to hear the gospel story, right? What else? Good food. There you go. What else? Yes. There you go. Presents. Anyone else? Yes. Time off from work or school, right? Vacation. Yeah, that's a big one. What else? What's that?
The joy and peace in the world.
Okay, that sounds like a Miss America pageant, but you're right. Peace in the world. What else?
Songs.
Songs. Christmas songs. How many of you love Christmas songs? Okay, some started right after Thanksgiving, right? Immediately, that couple channels. What's that? Some start in November. That's right. And if you come in the office, Chris will be playing Christmas songs all the time. What else? Anything else? There you go. It's a time to get together. How many like trimming the tree? You like trimming the tree? Or do you just like the tree and have someone else trim it? Or do you like both? You like both. Okay. Some of you, do you like the lights that are out? Some of the houses. How many of you decorate your house? Only because you have to, right? No. How many love to decorate your house? And there's some very clever, I saw this on Pinterest. It was, they made it out of rope lights, this manger scene. And then some people, you know, maybe it's your neighbor who does this, they go all out, right? maybe, how many of you like playing in the snow or making a snowman? Anybody? You like presents or going to church? What about a snowman going to church carrying a present? Actually, you'll be surprised at the people who love Christmas. People you least expect love Christmas. Everybody loves Christmas. And as Ron said, you get together with your friends and family. And, you know, people try extra hard to be nice at Christmas time, don't they? And that's kind of nice. Wouldn't it be nice if we were polite and compassionate all year round? We know that we're supposed to get along, and so Christmas helps us to do that. And there's something about Christmas, and I like this scene. And I remember as a kid, we would have these manger scenes, and there was always the animals. Did you think about that, the animals? You like the animals, Gabe? Okay. And the animals, it's like, we know a secret. We're in on this. We know what this is about. I think the animals do know something there. And now these are domestic animals, but you remember back in the temptation of Christ, he was out in the wilderness with the wild animals. And there's something about that. There's something about creation that wants to get back to what was lost. We'll read later in Romans chapter 8 where he talks about how creation was spoiled and it's longing for the time when it would be rebuilt, remade. He says in Romans 8:22, we know the whole creation has been groaning as if in the pains of childbirth. What, you know, sage is almost there. But the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And that makes me think of another time when the animals all got along. Can you see that picture? What is that? Gabe, look at the picture. What is it? Noah's Ark. Good. A little coaching for Mom, but yeah, Noah's Ark. And What do you see? What kind of animals do you see? Yes. Okay. Deer or elk or leopards. I'm not sure what else is there. But normally we divide these in two categories, right? Herbivores and carnivores. And they don't normally get along, but here they are. And we know that this was a special time, but it's kind of a flashback to Paradise Lost, and it's a flash forward to what will be regained. You see, now let's think about that. When we think about the Christmas story, we have to think about creation and what was God's intention when he made the world, when he made the universe, and we put man in charge. He made a beautiful world. He said, it's all good. Now, here's someone's picture of a beautiful creation. I expected lots of children, but that's okay. He put man in charge. Remember, he put man in charge of this beautiful world. Now, think of that. Man was in charge. He named the animals. They came to him. He was leading them. He was ruling over them. And he was to make this little garden that God made on the face of the earth, that he was to expand and make that whole thing into, make the whole world into a zoological garden with animals and plants living in harmony. And man could design what plants went where, what animals went where. Yes, sir. Well, where's Eve? That's Adam. Okay, good. That's Adam. And what animals do you see? A tiger, a tiger. Now, would you like to pet a tiger?
No.
Not today. But back then, it would have been fun, right? Now, do you have any sense of loss? We can't do that right now. I hope you feel a sense of loss. There's an author, and his books are old now, but you can get them on Amazon. I checked the other day. Harold Myra, and he wrote a book called Escape from the Twisted Planet. It was originally named No Man in Eden. You can find either one of them as a used book. And the other one is a fictional biography of Eve called The Choice. And in both of those books, he makes you feel the tragedy of what was lost, what we used to have, and how terrible it was that this was taken away from us. But God made a special companion for man. Now, in your bulletin, if you want to fill in the bulletin, this is the third paragraph here, and you can fill it in. That's right after it says, what is the omega 13 in the bulletin? And if you want to know what the omega 13 is, it's an illustration I decided not to use in this presentation. So it's from a movie that I like. I'm sure I'll talk about it sometime, but it's not there. So, yes, somebody said. So it's Eve. There you go, Gabe, you're right. There's Adam and Eve. And what did he do? He gave them the ability to multiply, increase the earth, fill the earth, so that they could actually take the small garden and make it bigger and make it bigger and fill the earth. But something happened. Somebody came into the story. Can you see the bad guy in the story? Peeking through the tree? Who's that? The serpent. And sin ruled it, ruined everything. Sin ruined everything. And that's what happens next. Can you see the fingers pointing? So I don't know who this artist is, but I like the work. Well, why is he pointing fingers? Okay, well, God is the bright light speaking to them, okay? The man's pointing at the woman. Do you know why? He's blaming the woman. Where's she pointing? At the snake. Okay. And so right here, this is alienation. They were hiding. They made clothes for themselves. They hid from God behind a tree. And now they're separate from God. They're even separating from each other. They're blaming each other, and they become separate. Sin brings all this alienation. One of the things at Christmas time is people reconciling and getting back together. Do you feel alienated from family sometimes? From friends? Well, Christmas is a time when people realize, you know, we should get together, but we have things in our way. And people say, let's get together anyways. Let's put those things aside. And so they were expelled from the garden and the source of eternal life. These are the blanks if you're filling them in. And so death enters the world. This is where Romans 5 is going to come in. Now, can you go to the next slide? Okay. Who are these guys? Two brothers. Yes. Abel and Cain, right. And one's bringing fruits and vegetables and the other's bringing a lamb sacrifice. God accepted one and not the other. And not only was there death in the world, but then because of this, Cain killed his brother. Now there's men taking men's lives, not just dying of old age or sickness, men taking lives. And then what happens? Sin spreads through the whole world. It gets worse and worse. Violence, idolatry, multiple wives, adultery, people killing each other. And God says, we got to start over. We need a restart. And what was God's restart? Noah, a godly man and his family. And he kept just some of pairs of each animals. And so he started over with a new mankind and new animals on the earth. And he brought them together. And that was the story that we saw before. And then they land and they all go their separate ways. So the animals break up. Abraham worships God. And everything's perfect, right? No, sin spread again. How could sin spread again? What's the problem? These were godly people. They loved the Lord. They were believers. They had a commune of believers. It was all one family. What if it was just you, your family on the earth, and you had to repopulate the earth? There would be no sin involved, right? Because when you go home in your house, there's no sin in your house, right? Even if you're all believers. What's the problem? We need a deeper restart than even Noah. People feel this. People understand there's something deep inside. There's a longing that people say, we've lost something. If we could get back there, we would be happy. People want to get back to the past because they think it'll make them happy.
Totally wrong. This is a warm-blooded creature.
This thing doesn't live in a swamp.
This thing's got, what, a 25, 27-foot neck? Brachiosaur 30.
We clocked the T-Rex at 32 miles an hour.
T-Rex?
Mm-hmm.
You said you've got a T-Rex?
Uh-huh. Say again. We have a T-Rex.
Wow.
Put your head between your knees.
Dr. Grant, my dear Dr. Sattler, welcome to Jurassic Park.
They do move in herds. How'd you do this?
How many have seen that movie? Did you feel how moving that was? Can you imagine if you could see that, if you could experience that? We long for something that was lost, a majesty, and if we could just get it back,
Go away!
It's okay, it's okay. It's a Brachiosaur.
It's a Vegisaurus, Lex. Vegisaurus. Come on. Come on, girl. Come on.
Come on. Come on, baby.
Looks like it has a cold.
Yeah, maybe.
Can I touch it?
Sure. Just think of it as kind of a big cow.
I like cows.
Can you see Adam petting that animal? That'd be really cool, wouldn't it? But there was a problem, wasn't there? This is a Vegisaurus. But not all of them are Vegisauruses, are they? Some of them are meat-eating. Some have to kill. Now, I showed you this one once before. And which is the chicken and which is the egg here? Which is the first one and which is the second one? We'll say the left is A and the right is B here. Did it start with A, complete, and then it was broken, B? Or did it start with B? And it's being gradually built up by erosion and accidental forces. And after hundreds of years or thousands of years or millions of years, it'll become A on the left. What do we have here? Do we have a perfect world that's been broken? Or do we have an imperfect world that's getting better and better, and that killing and death are just part of the way of getting better and better? What do you think? I know what you say. But again, that's what we were told in Romans. It's the whole of creation is groaning and is looking for this right up to now. And look at the lion's face. Can you see that? I thought the artist did a good job. I don't know if it's too far away. Can you see the art? It's like he's going along with this, but he's being forced to. What if we could have a do-over? What if we could have a do-over? What if we could redeem a mistake? That would be great, but how do you do it? And that's what Christmas is about. Christmas fulfills the need for a do-over. It gives us a restart. It gives us what? A new mankind. And well, again, from Romans 8, it says, creation itself will be liberated. When will creation be liberated? When will the animals stop killing each other? When will there be peace on earth in the animal kingdom? And when can you pet dinosaurs again? And when can you pet tigers and lions and swim with sharks? When it will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. When man is fixed, God will fix the world. So if you want to take care of the earth, spread the gospel. Now, let's read Romans 5. Or I'll read it, you follow along. This is verses 12 through 21. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, a very specific command as Adam did, who is the pattern of the one to come. Adam's the pattern of Christ. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. So he's comparing and contrasting. That's in the bulletin if you want to fill it out. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses or transgressions and brought justification. For if the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? That's one of the blanks, reigning through life. Verse 18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The last two verses. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, that's what we needed. We needed a new kind of man. We needed a new and better Adam, and so that's what God gave us. He gave us Jesus. Jesus became like us so that we could become like him. We can be a new mankind from the inside out. God is making us over in our spirit, our mind, and our body. Which one is he not renewing right now? The body. How many know that true in your own life? Yes. The outward man is wasting away, but he says the inward man is being built up day by day. That's what God's doing. So, now, we're looking at the book of Romans. He says that in chapter 5 or chapter 6, we're to die to sin. In fact, we have died to sin. Because you have died to sin, die to sin every day and live to God. In chapter 7, you have a new master. Obey the new master. Don't obey the old master. And in chapter 8, don't walk in the flesh anymore. Walk in the spirit. So, Jesus is God's Christmas gift to the world. And what are we? We're his body. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to show and tell Jesus this Christmas. So Christmas is the hope of paradise regained. So when you talk to someone and you're looking at a manger scene, you say, wouldn't it be nice to pet a dinosaur? That's what Christmas is all about. Think about it. The angels know this. The animals know this. You know this. What are we supposed to do? We're to tell Adam's children so that we can all celebrate this together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Christmas. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ coming as the new Adam to undo the mess that we've made, that we've inherited, and we can't fix. But you have fixed it. You can't turn time back like some of the movies and books we've read, but you gave us a whole new future by sending Christ to the earth to die in our place so that we could become your children, we could be made righteous in him, and we could live for you now, day to day. Help us to do that. Help us to encourage one another, and help us to tell other people so they can join in your family. And we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for this day. All in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.